Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Thursday to you. And my, oh my, how was church last night for you? Boy, we ended on a wonderful note. What a great series of meetings we had with Evangelist Tim Booth and on the Spanish side with our missionary Vic Rouse. God met with us each and every service and stirred our hearts, and we're closer to Him than we were had we not had the meetings. He has spoken to our heart, fired our soul, and fired us up, and we're ready to go for Him as we head in, end up this month of April with the last Sunday coming up this Sunday, and then we turn the calendar the month of May, and of course that means our mother-daughter tea, and it means Mother's Day, and it means our Community Fun Fest, big day we have on May the 20th, and then Memorial Day, and we have our missionary Tony and Dee Smith coming on May 7th, and both Victory Baptist Press out of Milton, Florida, and just a great month of May coming up. So we're ready, and we're fired up, and we believe God is at work, and He is working in us, and He intends to work through us as well. And I hope you feel that same way today, and I hope God's met with you and spoke to your heart in your service last night, and that you're ready to go as well on this Thursday, April 27. Well, if your Bible's nearby, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. The theme really of Colossians is that verse number 18, that where the Bible says, "And He," that's Christ, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Notice that little phrase, "in all things He might have the preeminence." Where? In the church. He is to have preeminence in our lives. If He's going to have preeminence in the church, then my friend, He must have preeminence in us. For we are the church. And really, once you begin verse number 21, if you notice, there's no period until the end of the chapter, verse 29. It's all just one long sentence. And I think what He's spelling out for us here is how we can have Christ to be preeminent in our life. We are all ministers of Christ. Paul says in verse 23 that he, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Well, we all are. We're a servant of Jesus Christ. We're here not just to saved not just to sit, but we're saved to serve. And so we're heirs together with Christ, but we're laborers together with Christ. We're in ministry with Christ. And in our ministry, in our lives, Christ is to have the preeminence. Now, what's the steps of making Christ preeminent in my life? Well, verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church." This is talking about suffering. It's talking in Timothy, he mentions the afflictions of the gospel. The word affliction here means prolonged pain of mind or body. It really means to endure pain, suffer for Christ's sake. He did it, and Paul says, "I'm doing it not only for Christ's sake, but for His body's sake, which is the church." He told Timothy, Paul told Timothy, "If you suffer now, you'll reign later." You see, we all want to serve without hardship. We want to serve without any inconvenience. We want to serve without any effort. We want to serve without pain. We certainly want to serve without discomfort. But when that happens, Christ isn't seen. We're seen. He uses suffering and uses affliction to humble us. And when we're humbled, when we're brought low, then He will be exalted. You know, when the disciples were beaten and suffered in Acts chapter 5, it says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. My friend, we very rarely do we want to suffer. And I understand nobody looks for that. But why do we believe that we're so thankful Christ would suffer for us, but we should never have to suffer for Him? The songwriter, I think, had it right when he said, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to gain the prize and sailed through bloody seas?" No, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, my friend, be willing to suffer. Hey, we've had it really easy. We've had it really nice in the United States of America. But my friend, the day may be coming and may already be here when we're going to have to show that we're willing to suffer for Christ. But if we're made low, he will be exalted. So I see suffering has to be part of us making Christ preeminent. But secondly, we must be biblical, knowing verse 25, whereof I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Notice to fulfill the word of God. You know, fulfill, fill full. Okay, what's the ministry of a pastor? To fill you full of the word of God. Not my opinion, not what I think, but to give you what the Bible says. My job as the pastor is to get you to know this book. I need to know the book so I can teach you the book. And I'm going to fill you full of the Bible. You understand, the church is not a museum for our perfect Christians where we go through and display our perfect. No, the church is a hospital. Sick people come here. And we come and we go to the medicine cabinet. The medicine cabinet is the Word of God. And we dispense the medicine that you need. And as you take the medicine, guess what happens? You improve. You get healthier. That's why Paul told Timothy, Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach the Word. He told Titus in Titus 1:9, Titus, holding fast the faithful Word as ye have been taught. Titus, you need the Word of God. Timothy, preach the word of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Oh, it's the Word of God, living Word of God, the written Word of God that we preach. Listen, you'll never have Christ in preeminence if you're not making the Word of God a priority. So often in our modern churches today, it's not the Word of God that has priority. It's the music. It's the sound system. It's the band up front. It's the singers. Oh, my friend, let's get back to the Bible has the preeminence. And the Word of God is taught and preached. Our music. Let's have an hour of preaching. There's several churches that I observe that have almost an hour of music, and then it's a 12 to 15 minute sermon. Oh, help us. For Christ to be preeminent, there must be the Word of God. It must be biblical. It must be some suffering. And then it must be personal. Notice verse 28. Whom we preach. Talking about Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Notice the phrase there, every man. First he says, I'm warning every man. That warning is where you give notice of possible danger. So I'm warning, first of all, I'm warning the lost, like the watchman on the wall of Ezekiel 33. I'm warning the lost one that they need to repent of their sin and put their faith in Christ as their Savior. I'm trying to warn them that the judgment is ahead and they need to receive Christ as their Savior. But not only do we warn the lost, we have to warn the saved. Warn the saved in 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 14, he writes, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. He says, I'm trying to warn you when you're going the wrong direction. I'm trying to warn you of things that could be dangerous in your life. Oh, when someone sounds the warning, don't dismiss them. Don't just throw them off. No, listen, as a minister, as a servant of God, that's part of the responsibility of the pastor, is to warn you when I see danger ahead. Warning every man. Then he says, teaching every man. I tell you what's wrong. Teach what is right. I'm not just going to tell you what's wrong. I'm going to tell you what you ought to be doing to make it right. Teaching follows the warning. Warning is warning you what could be wrong and what dangers are ahead. But then I want to teach you what's right. Can we get back to teaching of the Word of God? The Bible, remember the servant of the Lord, must be apt to teach. A bishop must be apt to teach. So I don't just want to warn you about the dangers of laziness. I want to teach you how to work. I just don't want to warn you about robbing God. I want to teach you about proper giving to God. I don't just want to warn people of hell. I want to teach them how they know they're going to heaven. I just don't want to warn about getting divorced. I want to teach you how to have a better home and a better marriage. I don't just warn about worldliness. I want to teach you about godliness. So warning every man, teaching every man, and then it says presenting every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless. It does mean mature. We look at an apple and say, boy, that's just a perfect apple. It just means that it's mature. It's ripe. It's ready. It's just perfect. But it's not, we don't mean there's no flaw, possibly. But we use that, or we say, boy, it's just been a perfect day. All right. Doesn't mean here, not recently, not a cloud in the sky, sun out, 74 degrees, I think it was. And we say, man, this is just perfect. Well, I don't mean there's no flaw in the day. I just mean it's the best it can be. And so when it says, I want to present every man the best they can be in Christ. In Christ. Now, we are positionally already in Christ. Ephesians says we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And that is our position. But we want to be there practically as well. We want to live up to that in our practical life. Perfect in Christ before God. And so the Bible speaks back in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, about the responsibility of the pastor, the minister. And it says, remember them, Hebrews 13:7, would have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And the end of that conversation is verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. See, as a pastor, I'll have to give an account for those who I've taught the Word of God to, and I'm going to present them to the Lord. And so I warn them and I teach them because I want to present them the best they can be in the presence of Christ, in the presence of the Lord when it comes to the judgment. I have to give an account, and we want Christ to be preeminent in our life, and we do that through hard work. Listen, it's labor. Verse 29 of Colossians 1, wherein I labor, I agonize. I labor. It's the same word used going through childbirth and labor. Why? Because it's His working which working in me mightily. It's God working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Labor, striving, working. Listen, that's the Christian life. Don't think it's just it's all passive. My friend, know that God's at work in me that He might work through me. There's mighty power. There's resurrection power. There's Pentecostal power. Where? In each of us to be able to make Christ preeminent in our life. You want a successful ministry? You want a successful life? Make sure Christ is preeminent. What will it include? Suffering. What will it include? Being biblical. What will it include? It has to be personal. And what will it include? It has to be work. It has to be work. But in all things, let's have Christ be preeminent in our life. Well, hope you have a great Thursday, everybody. And I'll look forward to being with you again on our broadcast tomorrow. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with us. sunny smile.